All right, well, the next question, I'm going to start with you, Becky, and then Pat, have you chime in. On average, how much input do you feel a review team should be providing an institution?
Well, I think sharing concerns should be the focus of the first letter and interview that the review team has with the applicant. And at this point, the team should explain what the evidence calls for, describe what the application contains, and then outline what the team needs to see. And this is not the time to sugarcoat your thoughts. There's no point in being insulting because that makes them defensive. But if there are shortcomings in the application, this is the time to say it right up front so that they know and they have time to prepare their response. I'd like to say that all communication should be neutral. It should not be accusatory, nor should it be congratulatory at this point. When you write the letter or when you meet the applicant in person, you want to not personalize the review. I always say, when I do this, I always try to say your program instead of you, because it's a lot easier to hear your program is lacking than to hear somebody say, well, you're doing a bad job. And I also do it the other way. I like to say the team instead of I or we, because there can be some very bad feelings, and I want those feelings to be directed toward the nebulous team rather than to me as a person. One of the questions was, how much guidance is there to make the necessary adjustments to be accredited in that cycle? In my opinion, it depends on what it is. If it's something little, like the teacher handbook is not publicly available, that's no big deal. If it's something like they're not doing professional development, that's a big deal. And that practice should be in place at the time of application. They can't, none of this we're going to, we intend to, we plan to. Nothing can be in the future. It all has to be in the present. And also, at the very end, when the team has made their recommendation to the commission, there's no communication with the applicant telling them what the decision was, or you want to keep your cards really close to the vest, because I've known instances where applicants felt like, oh, well, this is a cakewalk, we're in like Flint, and that was not the case. The commission decided otherwise. So you want to be real careful about what you say. And that's all I have.
I have found that you know, it really depends on which standard you're addressing as to how much input you're providing. You know, some of them are they, you know, for example, are some of the administrative pieces of the program, you know, are they registering students as university students? You know, again, those are things that are very, very apparent or not. And if it's, you know, if it's something that they just haven't answered clearly in their application, you know, it's pretty simple to say we need this clarified because we're not seeing it. If it's something more dealing that goes into the heart of perhaps how they initiate trainings with new instructors, how they conduct site visits and report on those site visits, I have always found that those seem to be areas that the team members feel it's more important to voice exactly what it is that their concern is. And so, you know, it may be that you raise your concern in a letter, but then I have always found the personal meetings really helpful, and it's usually at that time when you can maybe in a less formal way talk about ways that the applicant is meeting the standard. However, you know, there are probably better ways for them to do it. And so we've had situations where programs have decided to change the way they do things, even though they were in compliance based on the suggestions of the review team. And I think that's, I have found that to be an appreciated process by the applicant. And that's about all I could add to what Becky said.